It's your Tuesday daily delivery. I am Michael Rand. Glad to be back for another day. Hope you guys are having a good day out there as well. So much to get to on today's show. Marcus Fuller from the Star Tribune joins me here in just a few minutes to talk men's basketball. A little bit of Gophers talk. They play Butler tonight in the NIT. That's a road game at Butler. Trying to extend their season. Got a bid at least to the NIT, but the tournament most of us are paying attention to is the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and the women's basketball tournament, of course, too. Maybe paying as much, if not more, attention to the women's tournament, by the way. Kent Youngblood and I will talk about that on tomorrow's show. But on this show, Marcus Fuller breaks down his kind of his favorites, who he likes as maybe his sleeper teams. And, of course, the great storyline this year of Dan Munson, former Gophers coach, and Richard Pitino, former Gophers coach, taking their teams to the NCAA tournament. The Munson story is just fantastic. He and Long Beach State mutually agreeing to part ways about a week ago, and then they go on a run in their conference tournament, win it. They make the NCAA tournament. So quite a story, a lot of former Gopher angles, a lot of Minnesota angles in this tournament, even if the Gophers aren't in it. Maybe this time next year the Gophers make it. We will see. Seem to be on the right trajectory, but they got to keep this thing going. And like I said, an opportunity to keep their season going, build some momentum tonight against Butler in the NIT. Got some other stuff at the end of the show, some wild thoughts at the end of the show, a Joshua Dobbs thought at the end of the show. First, though, what I miss, hope you didn't miss it. If you didn't see it happen as it happened, at least you probably saw some replays, or hopefully you'll watch some replays at this point. Anthony Edwards had a dunk for the ages on Monday night, propelling the Timberwolves to a win over the Utah Jazz. Wolves were down by 6 in this game at halftime. No Rudy Gobert in the game. He's still trying to come back from that hamstring. And Karl-Anthony Towns out for a while, of course, with that meniscus injury. Naz Reid gets injured during this game, head injury, had to leave the game. He had 17 points when he went out. So the Wolves basically playing without their top three centers, right? Like all three of those guys are their three top big men. You're like, they got all this big man depth. All of a sudden, Kyle Anderson is running around trying to play small ball five. Ant takes over in the second half. Unbelievable performance. The dunk, only a part of it, but man, if you didn't see it, dunks over John Collins in transition. Collins has to leave the game. He's evaluated for a head injury and dislocates a finger in the process on his left hand. He basically tapes it up, comes right back in. But that dunk sparks the team. Just an unbelievable play in an unbelievable game for Anthony Edwards. Let's hear Chris Finch talk about it just a little bit. Wolves head coach after the game.
You know, we've seen several of those rim attacks at the end of transition like that. I thought that was really what kind of flipped the game around for us, just from an emotional point of view. We needed a really big play. And, you know, all credit to Anthony, too. Like, he didn't start the game the greatest. Like, we looked a little kind of sluggish, you know, but he kept at it. And then, you know, he knows when guys are out, gets down shorthanded, that he's got to step up. But, you know, spectacular play.
And listen, it's never a good thing when your good players get injured, right? You don't want to see Karl-Anthony Towns out for 4 weeks. You don't want to see Rudy Gobert have to miss time right now. You don't want to see Naz Reid go out with a head injury. You don't want to see your team, if you're a Wolves fan, not be at full strength. But what we have seen from Anthony Edwards, go back to, I think, the very first game after they knew that Cat was going to be out for a while, very first game at Indiana, Ant seals it with that block at the end of the game where he got up high. That was just a week or two ago. Like, we were already talking about that as, like, what a moment, a transcendent moment. Now you have, you know, back-to-back games against Utah. I mean, I know they weren't two consecutive nights, but they played twice against Utah in the last couple nights. Win both games. Ant was huge in both games, especially this one last night. He is taking his game to another level yet. When he has to be the guy, and again, you know, he's got a supporting cast. I'm not saying he's the only player on the court, but when he has to be the star, when there's not this other, you know, when there's not Cat out there, when there's not Gobert out there, when it's a big one, not a big three, and he's got the supporting cast around him, he elevates his game. He has that gear. He's got another gear beyond the other gear sometimes, including that dunk last night. So that is something for you guys to watch, something for me to watch as the season goes along, because get to the playoffs, you're going to need all these guys. You're going to need as many healthy bodies as you can. That was part of the story last year when they got to the postseason. They just didn't have enough healthy bodies to really put much of a scare into Denver, although I feel like that got a little bit overblown. Like, that last year was just kind of a lost year in general. They didn't play the way they needed to play all year. It wasn't just the postseason, but that last year was what it was. This year, if they can get healthy, they've got enough firepower, but they're also going to need these transcendent moments from Anthony Edwards. He is showing that he has that in his game. He has those transcendent moments in his game to elevate, to get even higher, to get even better. And that's only going to be an encouraging sign for the Wolves going forward, because they're going to need it. Tonight against Denver, that's not going to be easy. A back-to-back, they're tied with Denver in the standings, just half game back in the West right now. They're going to need all they can get from Ant again tonight if they're going to have any chance to beat Denver at Target Center. Feels like a schedule loss, but you can't have schedule losses this time of year. You've got to be going full throttle all the time. We will see what he has left in the tank tonight. The Twins, on the other hand, it was just Friday. It was Friday's Daily Delivery. I had Bobby Nightingale, Twins beat writer, on the show, and things just felt a little too quiet at Twins spring training. Everything was going okay, no injuries. It was like a very paint-by-numbers camp. Here was Bobby, like one of the first things he said on that show on Friday.
Yeah, I've been talking with my colleague Phil Miller just about how kind of boring this camp has been. I mean, he's covered a lot more baseball than I have, but my first spring with the Twins, I covered the Reds for 5 years. This is by far the most boring, like, lack of storyline. Like, I see some writers are doing, like, what's the top 10 things I've learned from camp? And I was like, I don't know if I could name 10 things. I mean, it's just, you know, fortunately for the Twins, I mean, it's kind of everything's kind of how they planned has kind of panned out. I mean, Byron Buxton's playing center field, and Carlos Correa's healthy, and Royce Lewis is healthy. And, you know, outside of Anthony DeSclafani in the rotation's all been healthy and everyone's ramped up. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's been ho-hum in terms of everything that we kind of expected coming into camp has kind of played true.
And then on Monday, 3 days later, we learn all of these things. Anthony DeSclafani probably going to miss the season. He was projected to be a back end of the rotation starter. Jean Duran has an abdominal, looks like a, you know, some sort of oblique strain. He's going to miss the start of the season. You know, that's not a season ending thing, and it's not in the arm, which is at least makes you feel a little bit more optimistic, but he's going to miss the start of the season. Caleb Thielbar is struggling. He's injured right now. He's been slow to come back from a hamstring strain, so he's still not feeling like he's going to be ready. He's going to start the season on the injured list. And Byron Buxton was scratched from a game yesterday, too, because of it's a precaution. He dove for a ball. That one doesn't seem serious, but with Buxton, you always hold your breath. So, you know, you had three pitchers they were ostensibly counting on. Now Louis Varland goes back into the rotation, which is fine, but your pitching depth is a little bit more perilous. So if it felt like things were a little bit too quiet, if things were going a little bit too paint by numbers, a little bit too routine, maybe there was a reason why everything was building to this point Monday, just a few days after Bobby and I talked about it. This is going to be a lot for the Twins to overcome. I get that the Duran and the Thielbar injuries shouldn't be like season-long things, right? Like, hopefully they get those guys back within the first few weeks of the regular season, kind of muddle through the beginning part of the year. Then again, that's kind of when you want your bullpen, right? That's when you're going to need probably more of those fresh arms down there, because your starters might not be working as deep into games early in the year, things like that. So watch for how the Twins start the year with some of these injuries popping up. Can they kind of weather the storm? If they can get through this okay and get Thielbar and Duran back, you know, like I said, a few weeks into the year, they should be fine. Like DeSclafani, I don't know how much I was counting on him anyway. He had the arm troubles last year. They got to stop trading for guys, by the way, that have a history of arm trouble. You can make a pretty good rotation out of guys that they have traded for and then have immediately been injured. Got Tyler Mahle, Chris Paddock, now DeSclafani. I'm sure there's more in there as well. They got to stop trading for guys that have a history of arm trouble. This is not working out for them. Now Louis Varland, though, has got to step up. Now the rest of the rotation has to stay healthy, because otherwise they are going to be in a world of hurt with their depth as well.
MGM Wine and Spirits is the choice for savings, service, and a great selection of spirits, pre-mixed cocktails, wines, and of course, ice-cold beers and hard seltzers. With over 30 locations throughout the Twin Cities and beyond, there's an MGM near you. Head to mgmwineandspirits.com to find a convenient location in your area. Get social. Follow MGM on Facebook and Instagram for all the latest news and trends. Make great moments with MGM Wine and Spirits, your locally owned and operated choice for over 50 years. Save time, save money. Shop MGM.
Nobody I'd rather talk to right now about men's college basketball than Marcus Fuller from the Star Tribune, not just a Gophers writer, but at this time of year, and you know, all times of year, really, is a national college basketball expert. Marcus, should we call you an expert? Maybe we should see your bracket first.
Well, the last couple of years, people have been emailing me that I'm an expert, but I told them, you know, I can't keep it up. So you might want to follow someone else as far as their bracket. But yeah, no, I hate to throw the expert that tag around. Even the bracketologists, you know, they might get 68 out of 68 right, but I think it's more guessing and luck more than anything.
National College Bracket Enthusiast, how about we'll call you, at least an enthusiast. You love this time of year, and with great, you know, with good reason. What are we thinking at this point? Before we talk Gophers and before we talk some Gopher connections in the men's tournament, what are some of the overall themes of the bracket you picked and just the tournament you see it playing out?
Yeah, I mean, this is you know, this is Christmas for college basketball fans. You know, I feel like the Big Ten tournament being here the last 2 weeks, Caitlin Clark and Iowa winning it on the women's side. You know, we didn't get Purdue and Zach Edey in the championship game, but a lot of Badgers fans love seeing Wisconsin in the final, and Illinois obviously came out with the win. Terrence Shannon was outstanding. Some of the best basketball I've seen in the conference tournament since I've been covering it. And, you know, the Big Ten got six teams, not the Gophers. We're not shocked. I was a little surprised they made the NIT, but there were a lot of teams that opted out of the NIT once they didn't make the NCAA tournament. Transfer portal opened today, and a lot of teams want to focus on that rather than worry about playing in the NIT, where even if you want a championship, I don't know if Richard Pitino was very proud of that. You know, the next day, at the moment, it was great for his kids and to celebrate it. But I think this team, if they were to win the championship, it would really springboard them forward. But again, you got to get by the first game, which is Butler. And but as far as the tournament is concerned, you know, I picked my bracket. I already regret some of the picks. But, you know, that's what you do every year. You know, I mean, just go by instinct. And then after that, you know, you hear so much analysis and you do your own research. And finally, you get to the conclusion that nothing's going to happen the way you expect.
That's the beauty of it, right? Like some things happen as you expect. Like usually, you know, there's not, you know, you don't predict, you know, every upset. But, you know, some teams are clearly, you know, a little bit more upset proof than others. That said, like who are the teams you like right now? Who are the kind of high seeds that you see being vulnerable, things like that?
Every high seed's vulnerable. Okay. I would say Purdue, you know, last year's overall number one seed, they got bounced in the first round, and it's happened before now twice, right? And, you know, I think every team is vulnerable. I would say that the number one seeds this year are less likely to lose in that first game. You know, including Purdue.
Okay.
But I would say UConn is playing its best basketball right now. You know, they look like a team that can repeat as champions, and that hasn't happened since Florida back in 06 and 07, I believe. You know, some of the guys that we remember on that team, obviously Corey Brewer played for the Wolves, you know, Joakim Noah. You know, that team was just exciting to watch. But I think, you know, this UConn team, they're a little bit different than last year's championship team. They lost some players to the NBA and graduation, but they're still very, very, very talented. I mean, you've got Tristan Newton, who's a lottery pick, Donovan Klingon, who's another lottery pick, 7-footer. Newton's a point guard, and you know, they got a lot of depth. They got a Rutgers guard out of the transfer portal, and you know, Danny Hurley is one of the best coaches out there. So I think they've got everything you would ask for in a champion. They won it last year. I don't see them repeating because it's just, you know, hasn't happened in almost 20 years. And this is a field that it might be one that we'll see I would say an unexpected champion. Not a number one seed, I don't think. But again, UConn might be right there when it's all said and done.
Interesting. You mentioned, I'm going to come back to this just for a second. You mentioned the teams that turned down the NIT when they didn't make the NCAA tournament. Maybe some of them were, motivated by disappointment, but also motivated by wanting to hit the portal running. I mean, that's just such a, we've done such a, NL, NIL is a piece of the portal, obviously, with that being, some of the enticement that you can offer players, the possibility at least of NIL money. We've been in the midst of this big NIL series at the Star Tribune. Like, obviously, we've talked about that transforming college basketball. How do you kind of think about a team turning down the opportunity to keep playing in order to maybe kind of hit the portal running right now?
Yeah, you won't see any teams turn down an NCAA tournament bid to
No, of
hit the
course not.
portal. Not unless, half their team leaves the portal before they
Right,
play their first
right.
game. But who knows? That might happen in the future. But I think that obviously there are teams that were left out that pretty much they think they were snubbed. I don't really see it this year like there's super snubs. I think there's teams and there's conferences that feel like they were snubbed. Like the Big East only have three teams, and they have obviously the defending champion UConn, and I think Marquette is very strong, and so is Creighton. I think those three teams that made it out of the Big East could easily make the Final Four.
Okay.
So if you're saying that they have three Final Four caliber teams, and that's it, I don't buy that. Because some of those teams that you left out, Seton Hall. St. John's, Rick Pitino, they beat some of those top teams. So I just don't buy it. Indiana State probably got a big gripe. I mean, they were a shoe-in, and then they lost in their conference tournament. They're not going to get a lot of bids out of that league. Drake was the one that got it for the automatic bid. But this was a Indiana State team that was top 25 for the mid part of the year. They had a couple losses down the stretch that probably hurt them in the selection committee's eyes. They're actually going to possibly play the Gophers if the Gophers can advance, and they can advance in the second round of the NIT. So that should be an interesting one. And again, we're talking a lot about the NIT because the Gophers are in it, but I'm focused on the NCAA tournament. I'm focused on who's there. And I like the fact that we had some intrigue last year with a Florida Atlantic and San Diego State making the championship game. I mean, you've got teams like that on the same in the same region. They could face each other, or they could make it interesting for some teams. But they're not going to sneak up on anybody anymore. I mean, FAU at one point, I wrote yesterday that or today's paper that they were ranked seventh in the country
Yeah.
at one point. So this is a mid-major, but they're not going to sneak up on anybody more. I think that if you look at teams like Kentucky, they had some slip ups this year, but they're arguably the most talented team in the tournament. They probably have four or five first rounders on their roster, including some a couple good freshman guards. I really like them, even though I don't like I guess I can put that out there. I'm not a huge Calipari fan,
Sure.
but just I mean, the one and done thing, he started it, and I don't know if it ruined college basketball, but it definitely wasn't the college basketball that I grew up with. The portal, Fred Hoiberg, you could say they started that, right? Or at least was the one that did it the most, and now everybody's doing it. So, these guys maybe were ahead of their time. But Kentucky, again, they have the talent to do it. They haven't been in the Final Four in a while, and certainly haven't won a national championship in a while. I really do like Purdue to advance a few rounds. I don't see them getting to the Final Four. I'm sorry, Matt Painter. I love Matt Painter. He's the best coach in the Big Ten, Tom Izzo, and really he's been more successful in Michigan State in the last several years. But he just can't get over the hump in the tournament. I just think that their style of play is so Purdue-like that it's hard for them to break out of that mold once they get to the tournament. And you have to adapt. Once you get to the tournament, you have to be able to adapt. And I think that, he had better guards this year, or better guard play, I want to say, because some of those guys are back. Braden Smith just, I mean, You know, our colleague Kent Youngblood, he went and watched the Purdue game that they lost. You know, he was sitting next to me, and he's like, he's our women's writer for people that don't
Yeah, he's gonna be on
follow. But
he's gonna be on Wednesday's show to talk about the women's tournament too.
he couldn't stand watching Purdue. He's like, "Is this the best the Big Ten has?" I said, "This might be the best team in the country." He's like, I don't buy it. I don't buy it." You know, Braden Smith, he was really down on Braden Smith, and Braden Smith got banged up in the tournament. You know, he had a hyperextended knee and hurt his a calf, I believe, and he just wasn't himself after that. And he just, I mean, he's one of the best, if not the best, point guard in the country at times. And he just, you know, he was complete opposite of that down the stretch, and Wisconsin took advantage of it. I mean, he was, you know, he was poor defensively, didn't make many plays offensively, and so he's got to be right for that team to advance. You know, they've got some other pieces. Obviously Zach Edey, but I'm talking about the guard play, and they need more than Edey. You know, teams are going to make it difficult for him. He's still going to get his 20 and 10, but you need a lot more than that to advance to the Final Four, and I just don't see them doing it. As far as the Big Ten, Illinois to me is the team that has everything you want to advance to Final Four. They're just in the bad, they're in the bad region. I mean, you know, I mean, UConn's right there. And I like UConn a lot. I don't see them repeating as champions, but I don't think Illinois can get past them. And you know, it's, you know, bring up, I don't know if we did talk about Richard Pitino yet, but making it with New
Yeah.
Mexico.
Richard Pitino and Dan Munson, like the local angles here, if you're a Gophers fan, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Munson is the one. That's the best story, you know. I mean, I think, you know, he's been at Long Beach State. Yeah, he's been there ever since he left Minnesota. And that was a long run. He's my first coach I covered with the Gophers. You know, he did a great interview with me a few years ago, just about, I think it was about the 20 year anniversary of or just the 20 years of Gopher basketball. And I talked to Tubby, I talked to Dan Munson about it, and he said, you know, I did what they asked me to do. You know, he kept the program clean. He got out of that rut that you know, they were in after you know, the Clem Haskin situation. And you know, I mean, they went to the tournament for 1 year. And I think that, you know, go back in time, he would have left Gonzaga, obviously. He would not have left Gonzaga. But he did. And I think he made Minnesota basketball better in the fact that there are some guys that top recruits that started looking at the Gophers. You know, he did get Rick Ricker. He got Chris Humphries. You know, I think he did a decent job recruiting locally. In the end, he was there too long, you know, obviously making one tournament in 7 years. But again, great story. I mean, he was let go, or actually, you know, mutually parted ways with Long Beach
Mutually
State.
parted ways,
Yeah.
yes.
And I get that, you know, like he even said it, right? He's looking for like another challenge. I'm sure they're looking for another direction. So the fact that, you know, they made the tournament after making that announcement just goes to, you know, the players. I mean, you know, obviously they want to play, and they wanted to win for coach. And you know, it's good to see that. You know, they had a win at Michigan earlier in the year where I was like, wow, you know, they got some talent there. So I didn't pick them to beat Arizona. I wouldn't do that because I like Arizona, maybe to win it all. So that would, you know, if they beat Arizona, I'm done. You know, I'm gonna call Dan, and I'll say thank you very much for ruining my bracket. I'll talk to him personally. I might even write a blog about it.
You should. You should.
So I really hope he does not win the first round, but it's great to see him there. And you know, Richard Pitino, I think people that know or have seen the Mountain West, you know, get a lot of love this year. I mean, it carried over into the NCAA tournament. They got six teams. They got as many
Yeah.
teams as the Big Ten in the tournament. I think they're a little overrated. Just the fact that they have a lot of good teams. I didn't know if they had very many non-conference wins that were just like, oh my gosh, they beat this team. You know, they all played decent non-conference schedules, but they just never really beat like a top 10, top 15 team. But they had decent schedules, so when they came and played each other in the league, you know, there was a lot of quad one wins, especially on the road. You know, I think every one of the teams that were in the tournament. They won at least a few times on the road, picking up quad one wins against each other. So I think we'll see what they do in the tournament. I don't really see anybody making it to the Sweet 16. I think New Mexico has a really good shot. I picked them to go to the second round, and they're gonna, they're in the bracket with their Baylor, in a second game, and I really think they'll give Baylor everything they've got. Great guard play. We know Jamal Mashburn Jr. Jalen House was the one that got him into the tournament, winning the conference tournament final was outstanding. He's always had good guard play. He
Yeah.
learned that from his dad. Like, if you want to go far in the tournament, you have to have guards that can just carry it on their shoulders. And it's unfortunate because the best guard he had at Minnesota was Marcus Carr, and I never could get Marcus to that point. But it's good to see Patino there. I root for him. He had his time here, and he got to a couple tournaments. Ben Johnson was his assistant. I think there's some love there too. But if you look at the tournament as a whole, it's really hard to pick a Cinderella. I mean, I really like the two seeds. I think a lot of them could have been ones. I see some vulnerable one seeds like Purdue, obviously losing last year, and then Houston. They lost by almost 30 points in their conference tournament championship game to Iowa
Iowa
State.
State,
Iowa State's got a couple Minnesota kids. Curtis Jones from Crean-Durham Hall. I mean, he was looking. I thought he might end up with the Gophers, and he was at Buffalo and transferred. But a lot of these guys in the transfer portal, especially the older ones, they're looking to win right away. I mean, NIL is NIL, but obviously Iowa State having the success they've had in the tournament is very intriguing to some players. And I do think that you talk about Elijah Hawkins for the Gophers, you talk about Mike Mitchell. Those are really good guards that they got in the portal, and they didn't come to Minnesota for necessarily NIL, and they thought they had a shot this year to make the tournament. So, if those guys come back, I think, or if they obviously, put up some momentum in this NIT, and they come back, I think next year, I don't know if it's NCAA tournament or bust, but I think they'll have a better shot at getting there. And I don't know, if you look at the bracket overall, we talked about Kentucky, I talked about Arizona, UConn, I talked about some of the Big Ten teams. But as far as Cinderella's, like I said, I just it's really hard for me. It's like, you throw names into a hat and just pick it out,
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Cinderella's kind of a merge, right? You don't, it's hard to pick one from before the
Well, you
tournament
have to, right?
starts.
If you're picking a bracket, you got to pick it. You got to pick one.
Yeah,
What
but
did you say?
it's, yeah,
This
but it's,
nickname is catchy. A
right.
couple few years ago, it was the Peacocks.
Right.
We got Antelopes this year. We got Trayton Thompson's playing for Stetson, and they're the
Right.
Hatters, but they're not going to beat UConn. I like Grand Canyon a lot.
Okay.
Bryce Drew. Remember him at Valpo years ago when he was playing. He's got one of the best memories of the NCAA tournament as a player. So. And Grand Canyon is a really good team. They've made the tournament last year. They have a first round matchup versus St. Mary's. I mean, come on now. You can't tell me that that's not tailor made for them to at least get to the second round. And after that, you never know. I mean, you pick up some momentum and some confidence. I see them facing UNC in the Sweet 16, and that's too tough. I don't think they can overcome UNC's experience and size, but I like Grand Canyon. Again, I talked about New Mexico. I just don't see him getting past Baylor, but I wouldn't be surprised. They have the guards to do it. And then again, the Mountain West, they have enough teams in the tournament, six, to possibly get someone, in past the Sweet 16. The teams are good enough. It's just about their matchup. Boise State's a really good team, but they're in the play-in. So is Colorado State with Nico Medved from Minnesota. Those two teams could easily just be in the field, but it is technically the field of 68, but they're in the first four. And I don't see both of them making it out of that. But if they did, they've got some nice matchups in that first round that I think they could win. But again, this year, I'm really liking the defending champs. I don't think they'll win it again, but they'll be right there in the end. I've already made it clear that I love Arizona. If they can get past Dan Munson.
Right.
And really, I mean, the Pac-12 is a good story, right? Because they're no
Yeah.
longer after this year. You got some teams coming to the Big Ten. And Arizona is as good as anybody. They slipped up a couple games at the end of the year here where they didn't get a number one seed, but easily have the talent to do it. And Caleb Love's been there. I mean, he was there with North Carolina in the national championship game a couple years ago, and they were a few plays away from beating Kansas, but they couldn't get it done. But I felt like if he had a really good game, he would have been the most outstanding player in the tournament that year. And to have him back with a team that's potential number one seed type talent around him, I like Arizona a lot.
Well, we'll see if this time next year, maybe we're talking about the Gophers in the tournament. It's a lot to put on them, but it's possible next year, right? Well, this could be a stepping stone. They play Butler Tuesday in the NIT. Like, that's a good kind of first step, and we'll see where they get next year. Go read all of Marcus's stuff. You'll see his bracket online Tuesday. You'll see it in print as well, I believe, right? We still do that. We still believe in putting that fun
Looks
thing in
better.
print as
It looks
well.
better in print,
It does look better in print.
then you can mark it up. You can say,
Yes.
"Hey, I don't agree with that."
Yes. Send all of your love, and just a little bit of your non-love to Marcus. Marcus Fuller, appreciate it as always. Love talking tournament with you. Love talking college hoops. Like I said, Kent Youngblood expected to be on Wednesday to do the same thing for the women's bracket. Appreciate it. Go enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you soon.
I'm jealous of Kent. He's going to be able to talk about Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
thanks a lot.
Thanks,
See ya.
Marcus. Take care.
Royal Credit Union's smart checking accounts offer no monthly fees and no minimum balance. Enjoy financial freedom when you open your Royal Credit Union smart checking account online at rcu.org/gochecking. Insured by NCUA.
Good stuff from Marcus, as usual. A women's basketball note. Gopher women also in the NIT. They get a bye into the next round of the NIT and a chance they might get a home game in the second round of the NIT. We'll have to wait and see how that all shakes out early next week. So the Gophers, men's and women's basketball teams, both in the NIT, and the women getting a bye. And of course, like we said, the men playing tonight at Butler. Couple things to get to in the cooler before we get out of here. Number one, thought this was interesting. Joshua Dobbs, former Vikings quarterback, signs a one-year deal with San Francisco to be a backup there. Guaranteed money, $2.25 million. I was reminded that at the height of Dobbs mania, remember Dobbs mania? We were hot on the Dobbs mania track for like 2 or 3 weeks when he was leading the Vikings to all these, great, great wins right away. And then then it didn't really work out the rest of the season. There was a piece, I'm not going to name the author because I don't want to, call somebody out. There was a piece in Yahoo Sports. Who will be the NFL's hottest free agent quarterback? The Vikings' Joshua Dobbs can earn that title by March, suggesting that Dobbs might be the most sought after free agent on the market this March. Said, what kind of attention? The kind that could position Dobbs as a coveted free agent this coming offseason and possibly the most coveted quarterback available, despite being slated to hit the market alongside veteran starters Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, and Baker Mayfield. Kirk Cousins signed a four-year, $180 million deal with $100 million guaranteed. Josh Dobbs gets 1 year, $2.25 million. So that did not play out. I'm not even making fun of the author. I'm just saying that's where we were with Dobbs mania at one point in the last season, that he looked like he could be this guy, and he did not turn out to be that way. And I wish that the things had played out differently during last year, that things had been, I think some of the blame goes to the Vikings for how they kind of managed him the rest of the season after he had kind of been this freelancer, things like that. I don't think they felt like they could win that way long term, but yeah, if you're just looking at raw value for the contract, came up a little bit short of being the most coveted free agent on the market, even if for a couple weeks there it looked like he might be that guy. Also, the Wild. This is interesting to me. Didn't realize that Marc-Andre Fleury had ostensibly become the number one goalie again for the Wild. You know, I just was, you know, I've been watching their games, obviously, but didn't really piece together that he's been on this run where he's playing really well, getting most of the starts. Now he and Gustafsson are going to split the next two because they've got back-to-backs here. They're really clinging to their playoff hopes right now. They've got to basically get 2 points in almost every game they play the rest of the way. But Marc-Andre Fleury, maybe making things interesting. I don't know, like, what this means for next year, how this fits into their long-term plans. You know, he was okay for most of this year. Their goaltending, by and large, has been subpar this season. He's been part of that. The struggles of Gustafsson at various points this season have been part of that. They've got Jesper Wallstedt waiting in the wings, although his debut this year was not great. They got to sort out their goalies, because what was a strength for a few years here, especially last year, has not been a strength this season. Fleury kind of carrying him down the stretch only muddies those waters, and I will be interested to see how those two guys react and play when both of them get the start in these back-to-back games. That will do it for me today. Like I've talked about, Kent Youngblood coming up on tomorrow's show, so stick around for that. Until then, I am Michael Rand. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Back at it again tomorrow.